My pleasure and honor to welcome the delegation from the IEC, led by Mrs. Brigalia Bam. Welcome to you, ma'am. You'll have the honor of introducing your delegation. And then I would just like to remind the committee, like in future, if you could always kindly provide a list of the good folks making presentations so that we have a list of everyone, so that we don't have to find ourselves saying the attractive lady there, the fat gentleman or the thin gentleman. Yeah. Thanks. Ma'am, we are in your able hands.
Our first visit to you, sir. Thank you for inviting us. And it is our hope that in future we will also pay a special visit to you and to your committee so that we could share with you in full our activities, the projects that we are doing, as well as the challenges that we face. No doubt, I am sure you will also be interested in hearing some of the concerns. Besides the achievements that came as a result of our elections that were held on April 22nd, I think. The reason that is important, sir, is because after every election we have held, we normally have a briefing session, and we have time to look at some of the changes that we want to make in order that we keep improving the process and refining it of managing elections. At times, we have to make proposals to you and recommendations on the amendments that have to be made to the electoral law. And so our relationship is a very important one. May I introduce you, say, on the extreme left, I'll start the side, is Terry, Commissioner Terry Zilani, and he chairs in our office our Committee on Finance and Budget. And he is here in that capacity. Next to him is Commissioner Thokombo Mlwana, who is the Deputy Chair of the Electoral Commission. She is here in her capacity as Deputy Chair, but also here in another capacity as Chair of the Home Affairs Committee on Film and Publications. Next to her is Mr. Mafuya, who is our finance guru in the office. Next to us is the CEO of the Electoral Commission, Advocate Francis Labula. On the extreme, left extreme, the person who will be doing our presentation is the Deputy to the CEO, Mr. Mosotho Moepa. And we are here, say, all of us, in order that we can contribute and answer any questions you might want to ask and the follow-up that has to be done. Thank you for receiving us.
Thank you very much. There's an omission that I made. I'm chairing this meeting and I forgot the basic. My name is Ben Dikobe Martins. I'm chairing this meeting. There are a number of faces that are familiar to you. But perhaps this would be an opportune time to ask members just to give us their names and their party so that we know there are new members in this committee like myself. So that would be proper to do.
My name is Maggie Maunye, member of the ANC, member of the Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs.
Fozima Tebe, member of this committee, ANC.
My name is Joe McGlua. I'm member of the Independent Democrats from the Northwest Province, where Eugene de Blans comes from.
My name is Nonhlanhla Makhuba, IFP, member of this committee.
Ndingumasizole Mngasela, a member of the Democratic Alliance for this committee.
Thank you very much, members. You see, the introductions were important. I would have wondered which director is that, and wondered. I have not met some of the members from the other political parties. But welcome, good folks. So we can continue.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm going to do the presentation. We were informed that we have 1 hour. So we're going to go through the presentation quite quickly so that we can make it within the time allocated to us. Just to say that preliminarily, to say that the presentation that we are going to make covers financial years 9, 10, and 11, 12, bearing in mind that the elections were in this financial year, and we are now in the process of preparing for local government elections. And the next financial year, 10, 11, will be the year for the local government elections. So just to make the preliminary remarks. I'm not going to go into the aims and functions of the commission as stipulated in the constitution, because it's common knowledge. I will also not go into the duties and functions as stipulated in the Electoral Commissions Act. The mission and vision is there. The organizational values that guide us, we have also included them in the presentation, and the background is or the roadmap to the preparation of this strategic plan, also we have included that. And to also say that this strategic plan is probably drafted because we're in the process of finalizing it, and because we're given a short notice to do a presentation. But I don't think there will be any major changes. If there will be, there will be really just minor. So we have seven strategic objectives. That we have set for ourselves, the first being to position the Commission as a global leader in electoral democracy. And I will speak to that strategic objective, and the unit that is responsible for the implementation of that strategic objective is Commission Services. And we do this by entrenching the Commission as an effective, independent, and impartial custodian of electoral democracy nationally, so that when the word elections comes up, everybody has to associate that with us. That's how we want to project ourselves. And in that capacity, what we'll be doing is to review electoral legislation. As you know, that we're preparing for local government elections, we'll have to look at the Municipal Electoral Act and look at whether there are amendments that have to be affected to that act in preparation for the coming elections. We also manage elections for other institutions in the same country. And then we engage in local liaison so that we have strategic alliances with government departments, Chapter 9 institutions, NGOs, and all relevant stakeholders that participate in elections. And we also engage internationally through strengthening participation in observer missions, providing technical expertise to other electoral management bodies on the continent and elsewhere, liaising with electoral management bodies on the African continent and other parts of the world through structured exchange programs and study tools, because we want to be in control of that so that we can look at other models of elections elsewhere in the world and see if we can, you know, learn from them, particularly in this age of technology. As the world moves towards electronic voting and so forth, that's why we will prioritize going to study tours to countries such as Mexico, where they have electronic voting. We'll
also strengthen participation in international and regional institutions that enhance electoral democracy. We are members of the SADC Electoral Commission's Forum of International Ideas, of the Association of Election Management Bodies on the continent, of the AU, and also of the Commonwealth. And that's what we continue to do as entrenching ourselves as a custodian of elections. We'll facilitate observation of our elections in South Africa through accreditation and briefing of high-caliber delegates who will come and observe our elections. Then I move on to the second strategic objective, which is to develop strategy to monitor project implementation and to facilitate independent assurance processes to ensure the effective and efficient functioning of the Commission. This, the office responsible for this is the Office of the CEO, and it also includes the area of internal audit and internal audit reports directly to the CEO. And what we will do is to develop and adopt a strategic plan for the organization, develop and implement regular reporting mechanisms for the organization, develop, maintain, and monitor implementation of the adopted policies, make sure that the approved project timelines are adhered to, that the stated outcomes and outputs of the strategic objectives are in compliance with the END, and also make sure that we manage our budget responsibly. And in internal audit, we will make sure that the audit committee meets at least thrice a year to deliver on their mandate, and will align our internal audit plans with our strategic objectives, monitor implementation of internal risk management processes, and report quarterly on performance against strategic objectives to the Commission, Audit Committee, and National Treasury. And the third one speaks to one of our core functions, which is to maintain systems and procedures which will ensure an accurate and up-to-date National Common Voters' Roll. And the department responsible for this is registration, delimitation, voting stations, and infrastructure. And for this coming financial year, we'll undertake targeted registration in specific geographic areas and population sectors where registration figures are low. And we'll also target specific sectors such as the youth to ensure that our strategy will encourage more young people to register. And we also make registration facilities available 60% of high schools and 100% of tertiary institutions across the country, which means that we'll actually go to 60% of our schools to register young people there, and also will also go to all our tertiary institutions for registration drives. We have set a target for ourselves of 23.4 million registered voters for this coming election. The chairperson would know that we had 23 million for the national election, but for this coming election, we are putting our target at 23.4. We also will make sure that we improve access to voting station for voters so that voters don't have to travel long distances to our voting stations, and we'll make sure that all our voting stations are signed off by the Municipal Party Liaison Committee before the elections, and we'll make sure that we verify our voters' roll against the National Population Register for credibility of that voters' roll. And we'll also improve the stability of our voting station network in the sense that we don't want, you know, we want our voting stations to be stable so that the electorate sort of know where their voting station is all the time. That is why we'll retain 85% of the voting stations that we used for 2009 elections will be used for 2010, and also to make sure that we use public facilities, 60% of our voting stations will be schools, and we'll also reduce the number of temporary voting stations by 5% to make sure that we use permanent structures, because there are problems with the temporary voting stations, particularly if you find unfavorable weather conditions to use tents, they get blown away, and it's also quite expensive to procure tents. And we'll also make sure that we'll have 21,500 voting stations for the coming election, and make sure that the infrastructure task team meet in each province. These are the task team made up of the IEC together with government departments and other institutions such as ESCOM, Water Affairs, and so forth, to look at the infrastructure at our voting stations. We meet all the time, and we have data of the availability of infrastructure at each and every voting station, whether it has toilets, whether it has water, and so forth. That's why those infrastructure test teams are important. And we'll make sure that the 100% provisioning of materials and equipment, using, of course, appropriate economies of scale to procure these materials. And strategic objective number four also speaks to our core function, which is to implement and promote effective electoral processes that will facilitate the participation of political parties and candidates in the management and delivery of free and fair elections. The Act provides that the IEC has to maintain close liaison with political parties. And to give effect to that, the Commission has established what is known as party liaison committees, which operate at all levels, national, provincial, and local government level. And we meet regularly. So for this coming financial year, we'll have 1,482 party liaison committee meetings that will be held at all levels. And we'll make sure that the current registered parties' database is reviewed continuously, so that the parties that have registered with us that do not participate in elections, we then have to remove them as the law provides. We'll conduct by-elections within the 90-day period as required by the law, and we'll fill in peer vacancies within 35 days as required by the law, and we'll receive and process nomination of candidates for national, provincial, and municipal elections. The fifth strategic objective is to deliver well-run elections which produce results that are credible. And here we start by looking at logistics and local office infrastructure, and we'll make sure that there's 100% availability of warehouses at national, provincial, and municipal level. We'll make sure that the stock accuracy rate maintained in all our warehouses. It's always very difficult to guarantee 100% stock accuracy. That's why we put that at 90%. And then we'll make sure that there's 99% accuracy in the distribution of material and equipment, and 100% in the provision of material and equipment for elections, and that all office infrastructure secured in terms of the municipal agreements or IEC procurement processes. And we'll also make sure that all our municipal electoral officers are appointed, because they are in terms of the law, the local representatives of the commission, or the representatives of the commission at the local level. We continue with strategic objective number five and look at the sub-objective dealing with voting and counting. For this coming financial year, as I indicated, this financial year for the election, we'll review voting, counting, and results processes. We'll ensure that the results processes are 100% accurate and are auditable. And we have put for ourselves a 40% voter turnout for the 2011 local government elections. We'll make sure that we publish our results within 7 days as required by the law. And we'll also deploy mediators so that we proactively manage election conflict. And we enhance the transparency of our electoral processes through, for example, scanning of the results slip. This is an initiative that we introduced for the 2009 elections, where in addition to capturing the results into the system, we also scanned each and every result slip so that political parties would have a scanned image of the ballot slip that was filled at the or completed at the voting station. And we'll continue to do that because we think that this is one of the ways in which we really enhance the transparency of our process. The sixth objective talks to one of our core functions as well, which is civic education and voter education, and will educate and inform civil society with a view of optimizing citizen participation in democracy and electoral processes, and will do this through civic education, as I indicated. The responsible department is civic education, research, and knowledge management, and we have indicated the number of civic education interventions that we intend to do nationally and in all the provinces. You can see that for these past elections, we did 2,246,000 interventions. As we go towards local government election, we'll increase those interventions to 2,253. And we'll also do that for the following year. And we also want to continue with institutionalizing formal voter education in schools through the general education and training and further education and training bands. And we'll do this by entering, we have started this project, it is ongoing, and we do that by entering into MOUs with the National Department of Education and the Provincial Department. So we'll have 10 MOUs signed. What was intended when we started piloting this project was that we came up with the curriculum, we piloted it in various schools, and we had hoped, and this is the curriculum on civic education, we had hoped that we could give, hand this curriculum over to the Department of Education so that the Department of Education can then have civic education in all the schools. We've not been able to do that, but we thought that because we've put in a lot of resources and work into this, we'll continue to implement this project in a number of schools. Of course, there's a very high number of schools and we don't have resources to cover all of them. And we'll conduct advocacy, public awareness campaigns and community outreach and other educational interventions. Then we'll have 10 campaigns per province, 4 campaigns nationally. 3 new popular publications will be developed. We'll conduct 2 research projects regarding electoral democracy. Have 6 stakeholder engagements at province and nationally, and we'll develop a comprehensive integrated quality assurance and management system, initiate, develop, and activate research and knowledge management strategy for the IEC. We think this is a very, very important initiative that we have to have a very solid knowledge management strategy so that we can then document properly all our documents. We continue strategic objective number 6 in the area of communication. In order to improve communication internally, we have quarterly briefing of staff members on, you know, the projects and everything on the commission. And we'll enhance internal communication through issuing of 8 internal newsletters. We'll update our corporate identity manual. We'll have interaction with the media. We'll have 10 national media training workshops. 1,000 electoral information manuals will be distributed to journalists. We'll have 10 media briefings and 10 media releases. We think that it's important to maintain this constant engagement with the media so as to educate them on the electoral processes, to enable them to report accurately, because we think that's important. And that bore fruit. We saw the way in which the media reported this past election. It was quite an improvement. We'll have 4 external newsletters per year, 27 provincial events, 2 election launches. We've already had 1 election launch for the past election. We'll have 1 for this coming election. We'll have 2 results operation center launches during this period, and we'll also have 5,037 public information drives for the 2010 municipal elections, and we'll establish a call center, which, as you know, we do have a toll-free call center when towards the elections that will continue, and we may will make sure that more than 80% of all calls made to the call center are answered in less than 20 seconds, that 90% of all the queries that people put to the call center agents, that these will be dealt with without them having to be escalated to the supervisors. And we'll make sure that for those calls that are escalated to the supervisors, the turnaround time for resolution of those queries is less than a minute. And we also want to improve the efficiency of our call center by ensuring that the dropped call rate is less than 3% of all the calls. Strategic objective number 7 is really the run-of-the-mill ordinary payment processes relating to legal services, human resources management, support services, financial management, information and communication technology. And we'll develop and maintain effective business processes to ensure effective functioning of the commission. And in the area of legal services, we'll of course revise legislation for this coming election and draft proposed amendments that will be tabled to Parliament via Department of Home Affairs, and we'll also look at the revision of our regulations for the local government election. We'll ensure that there's compliance with the electoral timetable, and the legal department will also resolve all judicial disputes against and on behalf of the commission arising out of election. In the area of human resources, we have 170 vacancies, and we'll ensure that 50% of them are filled in this financial year. And we'll make sure that 90% of registration and election staff are appointed for the 2011 elections. And we'll monitor the implementation of our approved employment equity plan as per the numerical targets that we set for ourselves. We'll ensure that we review 5 key policies in our employee policy manual and develop 4 new policies in order to align our businesses with best human resources practices and benchmarking. We'll implement the performance management for the organizations, and we have already done that. Employees have signed their performance contract end of this April, and they'll do that at the beginning of each financial year. And we'll develop and implement a program to assist employees with their well-being and safety, and we'll do this through 3 confidential voluntary professional support to employees. It could be through telephone services, face-to-face contact sessions, and website. We feel that it's important for us to invest in the well-being of our employees. And of course, we'll manage the employee relations in compliance with relevant legislation, policies, and procedures. And strategic objective number 7 talks to skills, training and skills development, and we'll revise the registration guide by the end of April, which we've already done. We'll also revise the registration diary that we use. We'll do that in preparation for the local government election. We'll produce and distribute training materials for registration. We'll develop a facilitator's guide by end of February 2010. And 95% of lead trainers will be trained on facilitation skills and registration content by the end of June 2010. This is all in preparation for this coming election, and we'll make sure that 95% of lead trainers trained on election content by the end of November 2010, and then 300 to 350 provincial trainers are trained on registration through 9 provincial train the trainers workshop at the end of August, and so forth. So these are all the numbers. We have to give the numbers because in terms of the E&E structure, we have to say how many people are going to train by. But that's why you have all these numbers that you see, and it goes on how many people at the end of it all, we'll have 190,000 elected election officials trained. These are people who will be working in our voting stations for the 2011 local government election, and we'll revise our e-learning program for elections to go online to party agents, security personnel by the end of tomorrow. We have realized that e-learning is very effective and cost-effective as well, because you don't have to gather people in a room for contact training. You can use e-learning, and we'll roll that out. We have used it for training of our electoral staff, but we want to roll it out to training of party agents and also to training of security personnel. And the training that I've been talking about is all training related to electoral staff. I'll now deal with training of our own permanent staff, and we will make sure that after we conduct a performance evaluation where we have discovered some gaps, we'll then ensure that our people are trained so as to improve the quality of the services they offer to the Commission. And we intend to have 440 training and development interventions for this financial year, and that's for our permanent employees, bearing in mind that the IEC has about 800 permanent employees. That is why the figure relating to training is quite high. We'll have 489 for 2010-11, 450 for 2011-2012. As an organization that invests in their employees, we'll continue to administer or giving bettering to our employees so that they increase their qualifications. Support service, what they'll be doing is to establish National Operations Center. They did that for the 2009 election, and they will then establish National Provincial National Operations Center at national and provincial level for the 2011 municipal election, and will perform needs analysis in respect of office space and infrastructure for this financial year. Just to mention that the current offices that we are occupying, the offices that we are occupying currently, we've run out of space completely, because we have grown since we occupied those offices about 12 years ago. So we are looking at moving into bigger premises, and this is what we'll be doing this financial year. Financial management will ensure compliance with national treasury regulations and the PFMA, and also they will compile MTF budgets for approved projects in line with the strategic objectives of the organization as required by the treasury guidelines, and will develop and implement organizational budgetary performance measures monthly, quarterly, and annually. Will manage the representative political party fund in terms or in compliance with the relevant legislation. Okay, they are all there. And yes, and IT also. Really, in IT, what will be preoccupying us is to just make sure that we enhance our IT systems, election-related systems, in preparation for the 2011 elections, and that's all to it. Then we have the budget, which covers three MTF years for this financial year, and budget allocated per strategic objective. What I need to highlight here in this budget is the budget for the training, for the employment of electoral staff. We have had major problems with the rates that we don't pay the electoral staff. We give them a stipend. And frankly speaking, if we look at the stipend that we've been paying, you'll give me the figure, it's quite low. And they work long, long hours from 3 a.m. up to, more than 24 hours. And we have had massive problems this time around, people complaining that they will not work for that fee anymore. So this budget reflects So the budgeted amount is as it is now, but we may have to approach Treasury to really give us more money, because it's going to be very problematic if we're going to have people who are not prepared to assist us on election day, simply because of the rate that we pay. And we are the first ones to accept that the rate has been very low for the amount of work that people put in. That's really the only area that we think will have a deficit. The rest of it is fine, and we have also given you the budget emphasis for this financial year, where really we'll be spending a lot of our money from the beginning of this financial year until the end of the coming financial year, and also the proposed assets that we'll be acquiring for this financial year. Thank you very much. I had to run through it quite quickly because of time constraints. Thank you. Before, Chairperson, with your permission, just the rate that we pay at the moment, our electoral staff. Oh, I don't know if most of you remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
For 3 days, electoral staff were paid 2,260 rands for 3 days worth of work, which is, as we say, it's not payment. It's meant to be subsistence and travel, but we acknowledge that it's not even enough for subsistence and travel. Two of those 3 days, people were doing special votes and visiting people at home. So it's difficult.
Thank you very much for the information, Dasa. I'll now avail the opportunity to members to make comments or ask questions. I've noted, you said your name was JJ from the Independent Democrats.
Yeah, Joe. Wherever I go, Chair, I used to say this thing about Joe Slover, you will never forget my name. Yeah, thank you, Chair. I would be the first on behalf of the Independent Democrats to congratulate the IEC on the tremendous good work that they have done. And if this committee allow me to take liberty to do that on behalf of the committee as well. Chair, I would like to ask a question concerning service rendered to various stakeholders. Is this done against any fee to stakeholders by the IEC? And then in terms of the election in various provinces nationally, we experience problems as far as the stop accuracy is concerned. Yes, we as politicians, we know the logistics around that problem that we had. Some of the presiding officers in various provinces were even caught with their pants down their knees, some with the face with egg in their face, when there was no ballot papers available. And at the end of the day, I would like to make, on behalf of the Independent Democrats, a suggestion to the IEC to investigate the possibility for voters to vote in their restricted areas, because as I'm rightfully saying that we as politicians know what the logistic problems we have, and at the end of the day, you know, we know the perception out there as far as the IEC is concerned. We have been in several occasions being in discussions with the high delegation of the IEC, and we also go out and try to swift or change that perception of the IEC, and it seems that we are getting there as South Africans. But the problems that we found, you know, boils down to the fact that there is either controversy and corruption and everything that goes along, which is really not the case. But we need to investigate the voting stations and also where people are registered and restrict them to vote in their specific areas nationally and provincially, because it became a hell of a dinosaur for the IEC. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McClough. Jose,
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also join the honorable member here from the ID in congratulating the IEC for the job well done. Of course, we're expecting that she has been working with them for quite some time. Now, my question is, Chairperson, it is said that this strategic plan was developed after thorough consultative process. Now, I want to know as to whether the rural markets were also consulted. And how was this also communicated to them? And whether was their response satisfactory? Second question is, whether have they came to a situation whereby the name on their voter's roll does not appear on the national population register? If yes, how was this resolved? The last one, sir, I just want to know as to whether, apart from the registration, what are other reasons for this high number of vacancies? And if misconduct is one of them, how many staff members were involved? And if possible, what were the nature of their offences? Thank you.
Thank you.
Masizole Mnasela from the Democratic Alliance. Well, the beginning of meeting as we have only one. We call him the Tolkien plant. There's no interpreter. All right. Chairperson, I will use my right and to the same in following so to the speakers that have spoken that the IEC. Obviously, this was a very terrible perception in this current election, that the elections might be this and otherwise. But I think they have proven to manage this process in a manner that restored confidence, even though there were so many flaws. We need to agree that there were some flaws or perceptions created to qualify that statement. I have some instances, but this is not a meeting to try and submit those complaints. But I think, in general, the SADC delegation, the AU, and whoever that was sent down to monitor this process, all the monitors were saying the elections were free and fair. So I think the general perception around South Africa is that we can. And we are those role players who continue to become the role models in terms of the elections in Africa and other regions in the world. So it's important that you set that mandate and that tone. Now, I'm looking at the presentation. We have set a target of 23.4 million people to register in this term for the elections, but the voter turnout as compared to the previous one, which is 65% of the national elections, it is now estimated to be around 40%. Now I'm actually sensing an apathy also from the side of IEC, and I would like to know why you set yourself so low. Yet want to achieve these elections and want to increase participation by masses. And I'm happy that the honorable member there from the ANC raised the question about consulting those masses on the ground, particularly, and in fact, including those in the rural communities. Chairperson, I also see that there is an attempt to go to schools and educate learners and those who are actually participating in the adult basic education and training. But it becomes a challenge that there are MOUs which have been signed. I see that there's about 10 of them. But now, looking into that, there are challenges in terms of budgeting. I think that there needs to be a sense of urgency in provinces to try and support this program, because we have 9 provinces. Now, if each department can start putting their budget in line with some priorities of the IEC, and obviously the central government also playing in line in terms of those kind of objectives. I'm not sure how much work is being done. I heard Advocate Tagula saying that some work has been done to try and engage the department further, but is it enough work that has been done so that we can try and fast track this program? Thank you,
Ms. Nda.
Thanks, Chairperson, and my apologies for arriving late. Let me also add my voice in welcoming the presentation by the advocate, CEO of IEC and the Chairperson. I think one really does agree that to a level of a certain extent, IEC has been able to rise above any doubts that anyone would have wanted to cast, more especially on the on the wave that the national elections carried. Remember, most of the observers of these elections were saying these are going to be the most electrifying elections that South Africa has ever held since 1994, and I think most of us agree with them. But having agreed to the fact that IEC indeed delivered the results and the elections as the mandate, I think it should also be noted that there have been some level of concerns, which might not necessarily be issues that we must continuously raise on the basis of either wanting to say, did IEC render, fair and free elections? That one is not an issue for us to discuss because I think we all agree. But I'm wanting to check with the Honourable Chairperson and the CEO, if considering that IEC is already talking of the e-learning, where they are saying they intend to externalize the training of party agents so that they can't cut on costs, which I believe is a very good thing, more especially on the basis of the recession now and the tone of the president having us to cut the cloth according to the size. But I would also want to check if are there any plans in the pipeline of also trying to convert our voting system to to the one of being electronic, because I think even on that one, printing of voters' roll, also dispatching the material, but also to a certain extent, Chairperson, without taking much of your time, trying to really find ways of reducing any perceptions of the material of IEC being found, lying low, lying about, and wandering in the hands of wrong people, if I may use that word. That would only be my question, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Your turn, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would also like to thank the presentation that you received today from IEC. And without going into all the other issues that my colleagues have already addressed, I just want to say it pleases me to actually realize that the IEC has decided to do something about the I won't call it the remuneration of the staff, but looking into the issue of giving them a little bit more, because there have been complaints from other people who have worked for the IEC, and I feel if we give them such a serious task of being there as officers monitoring elections, we have to make them feel looking forward to doing it, because they know that they'll be given something that honors them when they receive the amount or whatever amount it is that is from the IEC. And I would like to say thank you to advocates for sharing that with us, that they are actually looking into it. And I don't know if I may just ask, I know that there are people who were working on this past election as IEC officials. Some of them have not yet received their payments. Maybe is it because it is still being looked into? Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Makub, shall we pause at this juncture for a rejoinder from the IEC. Quite a diverse basket of comment and questions. Over to you, Kutfos.
Mr. Chairman, when we received an invitation from your office, we proposed that we should be given an extension of time because we felt that an hour would be too short. We felt that it would be important for us to share with you also some of our challenges that have arisen from the previous elections, with obviously other things that have come through here. We were then informed that we are under pressure over budget. So we were planning that a lot of discussion would obviously be the budget that was your pressure. Now I see that a number of questions have been raised, which are interesting to us, and some of them, in fact, are things we thought we would be able to share with you and react on the previous elections, so we understand the interest of that. I don't think that we can handle all of them in a satisfactory manner because we have 5 minutes left. So I would propose that...
Ma'am, don't worry about the time. That's my job. I would think, because of the nature of the questions, we would need to table some form of answer. It might not be the fullest at this juncture, but at least to respond to the issues that have been raised by members. Because the purpose of this exercise is for us to work together to achieve a common objective. They've got their responsibilities from this angle to accord credit where it's due, but also to raise issues sharply without fear or favor, with that common purpose in mind, for us to achieve the best that we can for our country. And as everybody has said here, as a precursor, the esteem of the IEC is not in question. But what we would like to do is, where we could do things a little better, seek to improve so. So the questions and comments are tabled in that spirit.
We fully appreciate
your interest.
Yes. Thank you very much. No, I would like to suggest that I answer some of the questions and the CEO will take some. I just want to make a comment rather than answer your question related to that. One of the things that are of interest to us with your comments you made is that if there are cases of corruption, not so much questions of controversy, because we draw a distinction. Sometimes when we have controversies at a polling station, we have what we call mediators. At times, the mediators are not at a particular station at the time of a controversy that happens. And we rely entirely on party agents to be able to cope with those kinds of controversies that might arise at a voting station. This time round, and I'm sure with more time, my colleagues would all add to it, the problem that we faced of availability of ballot papers, I think it needs a lot of explanation. I think one of my colleagues would take time to go through that. Why this time in particular there were problems, and there was mention in the CEO's report of how we are going to make changes to make sure that people this time must vote where they registered, because that's how we allocate ballot papers according to the numbers of people we have in our voters' roll who will be voting at a particular polling station. And why this time we had a crisis. Absolutely, you are quite right, we had. But cases of corruption are of concern to us because we don't have mechanism as an IEC to check on corruption on the voters. Particularly, that is what we are referring to. And we rely on political party agents that they can identify and actually record that corruption, because we feel it's important for us to do that. And at times we just don't get the report on time of whatever people witness as an action of corruption. And it's something that we are we are looking at ourselves. Rural Message Consultants, I think the CEO will answer that, the way we work with people. I want just to put, and then on high numbers and other ones, I want to put on something on the process of complaints. One of the things that is discussed in the meetings that are held with various political parties, here in South Africa, we are almost the only ones who have a unique arrangement where political parties participate with us in what we call PLCs. It's a South African phenomenon on all levels. It's national, it's provincial, and it's local. And we encourage as many parties in those discussions to raise their complaints there so that they are discussed. And on the election day itself, even before and during the election itself, a process can be explained where we try to help the parties to register a complaint and to register an objection, because they are two different things. And within the law, we have a system in which all these things can be handled, the complaints. And the parties tend sometimes to know at which point the complaint can be registered. And when we try to deal, we don't wait to deal with complaints until post-election. You know, in South Africa, we have also a very good system of objections. We have an electoral court that is in operation, and they can deal with those kinds of things all at the same time. The CEO and I were just talking amongst ourselves about the 40%, and I was whispering to her. Somebody made a complaint that we are also suffering from apathy. It's not us with apathy. I want to defend us a little bit. The common practice is that there is very little interest in local government elections. I'm sure we also try to raise the figure to more than 40%. We often say, well, let's put 50. And maybe if we say 50, we know we'll drop to 40. The interest is extremely, extremely low, especially with young people, because it is not common practice with our political parties to appoint young people as mayors or as councillors. The real interest with parties is that people want to become councillors. And they go, and sometimes in situations of independent candidates, independent candidates are not as many in South Africa as you have in other countries, because people don't have the money to be independent candidates. And you find that the interest is, this is something that we hope that the political parties can assist us in, how you mobilize people to be as interested in appointing their councillors and mayors, because that's where the area of interest is. But that's a thing in the countries all of us are doing with. On the schools and universities, I think you can deal with that. I want to make a comment in general rather than a specific one. I don't know why people think it's interesting. The studies show us that electronic voting solves every problem. I just want to share with us that in a number of countries, electronic voting is not solving every problem. I just think we need to do a study of us, because technology is not always understood by everybody. We have a very high percentage in South Africa, unfortunately, of people who have no access to a lot of things in technology. Even now, you know that in rural areas, it's a problem for us. But that's another story. But people need also, at some part, as shown in the United States, they have a crisis, that they are going into both systems, because there are people who want to actually touch with their own hand and see, and they draw, and they can see that they are doing it. UK is in it. So I just wanted to say, without going into great detail, we are looking at other systems, but I want us to say it doesn't solve every problem, either of budget or of transparency. Transparency is very important. And in technology, you have to be absolutely sure that the person in every village, even if they cannot read and write, they can understand how technology works. Because we are, unfortunately, a young democracy, people full of mistrust. If there's no printout, there is a printout. There are people who cannot read a printout, because you can't read. So if you cannot read, it doesn't mean that you can read a printout from. So there are problems that are peculiar to us. But of course, you are also aware that we have developed one of the best systems in the world. People might not be aware of verifying the results. The system of verifying results in South Africa is leading, and other countries are looking at us. But electronic, we are still going to people pressing. And I will say why India does it and does it differently when we have more time on it, just out of interest. I will request the CEO to take the rest of some of the questions that I didn't make reference to.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
That is that we render to various stakeholders, so we're doing it as a fee now. It feeds out of our civic education budget. The problem of ballot papers, as we indicated, we did not run out of ballot papers. In fact, when we submit our election reports, we'll show the committee that we had 19 million access ballot papers because we printed 58 million. What messed us up is the provision in the law, Section 24A of the Electoral Act, which allows people to vote in areas other than where they are registered. Obviously, it makes planning very difficult because you don't know how many people will appear at what voting station. So maybe if there's one thing that we have to do in preparation for 2014 when we look at legislative amendments is to look at Section 24A. I know that most of the political parties, we tried, at least at the operational level, to say this is a very difficult provision. But we know that the political parties say that it enfranchises people. So maybe we should reopen that debate because that's really what happened. We didn't run out of ballot paper. I also have to say, Chairperson, because of the excitement that was out there on voting day about shortage of ballot papers, we had to go and print 2 million more ballot papers. We knew that we were not out of ballot papers. But so as to buy peace, we did that at a huge cost of 2 million because people had to print ballot papers within 2 hours. So we did not run out, and we'll give the figures in the election report.
One tiny sentence. Some members might be aware what 24A section is. Just one sentence for those who haven't read the law yet.
Well, yes, the provision in the law that allows voters to vote outside the voting stations where they are registered. Fortunately, for local government elections, that doesn't apply. Local government election, the regime is that people have to vote where they are registered, so we will not have those problems. Consultation on the strategy plan, no, it was not with outsiders, it was internal consultation. The consultations that we have is the debriefings that the chairperson referred to. After an election, we have debriefings where we have meetings with political parties, with NGOs, ourselves, to say what worked in the previous election, what did not work. And we're still going through. We haven't even had our first internal debriefing is going to be on the month end. And then from there, we'll then have to call that debriefing to just get feedback on how we performed. But for the strategic plan, it was just consultation within the organization. If the name doesn't appear on the National Population Register, and we know that we had those issues where people... Names. If it doesn't appear, or if you are indicated as dead in the National Population Register, that's the end of it for us. Because a voter then has the responsibility to check in terms of the law, each and every voter has to inspect their names on the voter's roll. When we publish it, and it's upon the voter to take up their status with Home Affairs. We do inform the voter, but the voter has to go to Home Affairs to say, I am alive. We'll tell Home Affairs that these people are alive because they came to our voting stations to come and register, but the voter then has to make a follow-up as well with Home Affairs, and Home Affairs will resurrect and will put the person back on the voting. But it's a process that has to be followed. High number of vacancies. We restructured the organization, and we did not fill all the vacancies. We put that on hold to say we'll look at the vacancies again after the election because we have to be very strategic in terms of the vacancies that we fill. We're a cyclical organization in nature. So we have to look at the positions very carefully to say which ones are we going to fill and which one will be on the structure but will remain vacant because there's no point in filling the place with people and then if they don't have work to do, it's trouble. So we are strategic in terms of how we fill the vacancies. But we are going to fill some of them which are completely crucial for us. target of 24, the chairperson has answered the 40%. It's a benchmark for local government elections. It's always been a benchmark of 40%. We thought for 2006 there was certain enthusiasm. We thought we were going to hit 50%. We thought for this past election our target was 80%. And we're very disappointed because we stayed at 77%. We kept on looking at the screen thinking that it was going to keep on going a little bit 76, and it was very sad because we had worked so hard, we thought we were going to get 80%. 2006, we thought we were going to get 50, and then there were floods in most parts of the country, and we stayed at 40. We couldn't reach the 50. Our civic education in schools, very important project, but I think we need the buy-in of the Department of Education. The problem that we had is that the last time around they told us that they had a lot of priorities. There were priorities and there were people who were coming to also want to offer AIDS education and this and that, and we also wanted to put ours. And the education department also had to look and say, what are the priorities for our learners? So it's an ongoing thing. We have invested a lot of work. We continue to do the project. It's just that we want to be in all the schools, and that will need, of course, the education department to take over the curriculum. But we're still doing that. Then there was the issue of electronic voting, which the chairperson has spoken about. The e-learning and the plans to go electronic. E-learning, but electronic, as the chair has said, a lot of other issues, paper trail, whether you can verify, whether people, is there provision for spoiled ballots? No.
Yeah,
once you voted, if you made a mistake, you can't go back. So it's all those issues that we have to look at, and confidence building and transparency, huge amounts of money. But we have to look at that. We can't just stay and look at which is the best model for us. Hard copies of voters' roll, we do. In fact, we say to political parties, we'll give you a CD of the voters' roll, because that voters' roll contains 23 million names. So you can imagine the printed copies, the trees that we made. But the political parties say we want a hard copy. So we produce both hard copies and a CD. And that's what we do. They will insist, and it's quite expensive because it's just huge sums of paper.
And may I just add that they were going to have more for this for local government? Yeah, because we have 156 registered projects. And for local government, I'm sure most of them are going to stay on because everybody wants to be in local government. And some of the parties who did not qualify this time round, because they could not afford all the things that they have to do, including the deposit. I'm sure now all parties are working very hard to make sure that they have enough deposits by the time so that they can participate. So I'm just saying that we're going to get more trees.
The last one is on payment of staff. Treasury has introduced the regulation, and Zolisa Mafia will say more about this, where we cannot pay people with a check. We have to do an electronic transfer to a bank. So each and every person that we employ must have a banking account. We're talking about 250,000 people who are unemployed. They have to go and open up a banking account so that we do this transfer. It has been a very difficult process. I don't know, I think by now we've seen it.
Yes, most of the people have been paid, but the problem of those that have not been paid arises due to the fact that because we insist that everybody must have a bank account, they do open the bank accounts. But then the banking sector has a system in terms of which if your bank account is not active for a certain number of days, then they close the bank account. So when we pay the people electronically, the money is returned because the bank account has been closed. I still have to prepare a report and research and send it to management for us to look at. the rest of might engage the banks and so on. The other problem that makes it not to be paid is that the banking details, bank account numbers that are supplied to us are wrong, the wrong bank account. Alternatively, it's either the amount, the bank account number given to us is wrong, or when we capture it into our system, there's an error. But we are making arrangements for this, for those people to be paid. We think that that problem is going to be solved by the end of this month.
Just so I can easily solve it, I can keep my account.
You need me to just say that to the members of the committee. This really is one of the most difficult things for us because people don't understand why they can't get paid. We have many people say who come from most rural parts of this country. Some people don't know the rural South African. I'm not complaining, but there are people who don't know the rurality of this. That for them to go to the bank, you have to find the nearest town. You must find a taxi that takes you to the nearest town. And the town is very, very, very far from where you are. You get to these banks that some our leaders, unfortunately, haven't had a time. The lines are so long in our banks in rural areas that people will be there and it will be lunchtime. And 2 o'clock, people get a message that the taxi is leaving to take them back. And this is one thing that really is a burden to a number of people who work for us. For those who are near a bank, it's not a problem. They're in an urban area, the taxes are cheaper. But we have remote parts in this country where people are on the borders of Mozambique. We have villages that are on the borders of Swaziland, even within South Africa itself. So this is to us, this requirement is really a strain on people because we're an underdeveloped country where people don't have. And if you're unemployed, say, you don't have a bank account. So I'm just registering this because it's really for us. We can't change the laws, of course, on these matters, but it's a big concern.
Thank you very much. Good folks, I'm sure that all the questions that can be posed have not been posed. And all the possible answers that could be tabled have not been tabled. The nature of our work is such that at least once per year we have to take reports from agencies. But that does not mean that we only have to interact with agencies once per year. Once per year it is important to go through the strategic plan and budget and sign off on that. But I would prefer a more interactive approach where from time to time we can call agencies to come and give an update as to progress, challenges, difficulties. Then we have a vibrant interactive relationship with them. Not to read only newspapers when there are crises. So that's the approach that I would like us to accept. Today, unfortunately, we are fighting against time. We have time constraints. This is why I say that we have not exhausted all the possible areas of dialogue that's possible. But we are faced with an additional challenge. From my assessment of the House thus far, is that there is support for this strategic plan that the agency has placed before us and their budget. But I would have to ask one member to go and look for another member because we are not current as members. We need at least 8 members. And at the last count, we're about 7 in this room. So if somebody can go and get us one member, so that we can just carry the proposal and acceptance of your strategic plan and budget. Otherwise, we would have to agree with the process and defer that to a later date. So it's better if we can do it now. Are we all at one in regard to that, members? So, who has gone out?
Mother Lady.
And Kwasi, I don't think it's appropriate to point at another member's stomach and say that it's true. It is not my responsibility to comment. Good folks, we just hope we'll get one member so that we can dispense with this, and then I would ask the indulgence of the other presenters to follow. We just have to tackle this, and we should be done soon.
Wouldn't it be of great assistance to the committee that we just pack this matter and continue? Then when the member comes, then we resume on this particular item.
It's an idea that we could utilize, so that we have lost one more member now, going to look for the other member. It reminds me of Noah when he sent out that dove to go and look for dry land. When he didn't come back, he realized that there was dry land. With your indulgence, perhaps we should commence the next presentation, and then if I could kindly ask the IEC delegation to kindly remain until we can resolve that technical issue. I would like to welcome the delegation, Film and Publications Board.
Oh, yeah.